Praise the Lord for another Wednesday morning. It's absolutely amazing to me how fast he's come around. When I talk to God about what to teach about or what to speak about, rarely do I get a word before the day before, or most of the time the morning of, to be very honest. And I just want to take a second to honor God for always being so, so faithful to speak to us and to make sure that we have exactly what we stand in need of. So I honor God. I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. And then I'm going to jump over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Let's pray and then we'll go right in. Father, we thank you today. God, I thank you for your love and your compassion. I thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, I thank you that anything that you command us to do, that you've already shown us how to do it. I thank you that you're a God of compassion and peace and love, and that your mercy extends to us every single moment of our lives. Yahweh, we love you this morning, and I pray that you will open up our hearts and allow us to receive your forgiveness, and then forgiveness that we can forgive ourselves and we can forgive others around us. God, show us the purpose of forgiveness. Show us what it, why you told us and commanded us to forgive. Today, Yahweh, we lend our hearts to you and we thank you for being exactly who you say. We thank you that your plans are to help us and to encourage us and that you're a good, good Father. By faith, we believe these things and we settle them in the Spirit. We pray them in Jesus' name. Amen. Forgiveness, even like Brother Kevin, was talking about right before we started. For a lot of people, if not all of us, forgiveness is something that we can show other people. We can show our wives or our husbands. Lord knows I have to show my wife a lot of forgiveness. No, that's not true. But sometimes it's easy for us or a lot less difficult to show our husband or our wives or especially our children, or even people that we don't know, or people at church, forgiveness. But when it comes to forgiving ourselves, that's where the devil takes root. That's where it's more difficult. And my question today is why? Why can I forgive Alex, but it's hard for me to forgive myself? Why can I forgive Isabel, or Joshua, or Coach Pardee, or Brother Kevin, or Sister Samantha, or whomever it may be? Why is it so much easier for me to forgive other people than it is myself? Is the scripture true for them that they deserve forgiveness and the scripture not true for me? So today I want to take a few moments and I want to look at it and try to unravel or try to expose why I can forgive other people, but when it comes to myself, I don't want to let it go, or I don't want to experience the goodness of God. And most of us, if not all of us, the simple reason and maybe the most apparent reason is you and I don't feel like we're worth being forgiven. You see, if I understand my value, if I understand my worth, then I know that. And it's not based off what I say. It's not based off what Joshua says. It's simply based upon what God says about you and I. He says that you and I are so important that even the very the hairs on our head are numbered. And that does not mean that he knows that Alex has 400,362,025 hairs on her head. It means that each hair he on purpose placed hair number one in this location, hair number two. You see, you and I serve a God that's a good God. He's a God that loves us, and he's a God that is absolutely fascinated with us. One of the strongest words that I ever prophesy into somebody's life is I let them know that God is absolutely fascinated with them. And I hit a roadblock almost every time I tell somebody that. they'll look at me and say, listen, Alan, I think you got the wrong person, or you don't understand my past, or you don't understand what I did this morning, or you don't understand what I'm doing right now. You don't understand the sin that I'm living in. And today, brothers and sisters, the good news, the gospel is God is not scared of the sin. God is not scared of the disappointment. God is not scared of how many times you or I have messed up, or if we're still in the middle of messing up. You and I serve a God that's able to do anything. He's not scared of any amount of darkness or any amount of demonic activity. You and I serve a God that says their sins are forgiven and that settles it. You and I serve a God that sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to shed such holy and perfect blood that it cleanses you and me from all unrighteousness. And there's not a B clause to that. There's not a clause that says, unless you keep lying, or unless you keep doing things with pornographic images, or unless you keep stealing, or unless you keep using drugs. No. The Bible says that it cleanses you and I of all unrighteousness. So Jesus comes in Matthew chapter 9, and he's walking with his disciples, and the Bible says, so he being Jesus, got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. I think it's extremely important there that it says his own city, because people that know you and people that know me sometimes think that we don't have the authority that God's given us because they know our past. Well, Jesus wasn't scared of the people, so you and I shouldn't be scared of the people or what people say. Just because you've been divorced 35 times does not mean God has not chosen you to deliver a word or to help or to be forgiven. Just because you've been to prison 6 times does not mean that you're worth nothing or never will be or can't be so-and-so. If God is with you, then he's more than the whole world against us. The Bible says in verse 2, then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. I want to really, really pay attention to the very first word that Jesus said to the man that was brought to him, the paralytic, the lame man. The very first word that Jesus said to him was son. He didn't say, hey, man. He didn't say, hey, homeboy. He didn't say brother. He didn't say friend. He didn't say anything except son. Why do I believe that he called him son? He wanted to show him that there's already a relationship been established. And if you know God, if we know God the Father as our Abba, as our Heavenly Father, then we know that there's certain benefits that you and I receive because of our relationship, because of the sonship, and because of the headship. You can take Joshua right now to White's Pharmacy, and he will not be scared to take absolutely anything off the shelf, any candy, any whatever. He's not scared to go to the back. He's not scared to go to the bathroom. He's not scared to go anywhere. Isabel's not scared to go anywhere. They will absolutely run around that place like they are the craziest kids on earth. Unless somebody's in there, then they'll calm down. Why? Why will they run into somewhere? And they don't go to the pharmacy that often. Thank God. Sorry, side note. But they don't go there very often. But why will they run around and act like it's theirs? Why are they so loose there? Why are they so free there? Why don't they care to go to the back when they're not necessarily supposed to? Or why do they not aren't scared to do this or to do that? Why? Because there's a relationship they have with me that they understand that if it's mine, it's theirs. They understand I may not come here all the time, and I may not understand exactly how everything works, and I may not be mature enough to understand why this is okay and this is not okay, but I know Papa's here. And I know if my dad's here, then everything's fine. Everything's okay because of the relationship they have with me. They believe that they deserve certain things. They believe that they can have. They believe they have access to certain things. What if you and I put that responsibility or that relationship back to God and say, okay, God, I might have messed up yesterday and I might have disappointed my wife and I might have disappointed my husband and I might have got frustrated and I might have did this and did that. But what if we went back to God and we looked at Him, and when He calls me son, and He calls you daughter, and He calls you friend, and He calls you redeemed, and He calls you loved, and He calls you forgiven, and He calls you strengthened, and He calls you the head and not the tail, blessed above and not beneath. What if we go back to the scripture and see what God says about us? Jesus looks at this paralytic man and He says, son. And I believe when He spoke to the man and He called him son, that for years in that man's life, he had looked down at the ground because he was ashamed that he was a paralytic. He was ashamed that he was stuck in the same situation. No doubt he was probably a beggar, so his eyes probably never came up to meet somebody's. But when Jesus came on the scene, He looks at the man and He says, son. And I believe that made the man look up. And I believe he caught eyes with Jesus. And I believe that's the first time in a long time that man ever had hope. And Jesus looks at the man and He says, son, your sins are forgiven. A few verses down, the Bible says that Jesus tells him, take up your bed and walk. And the man gets up and he walks free because he had an encounter with Jesus. How many people today want to be free from unforgiveness? How many people today can forgive their husband or their wife, but you can't forgive yourself? You're worth it. If God sent His only son to die for you, and I promise you, He would have did it if I was the only person on earth. He would have did it if Brother Kevin was the only person on earth. He would have did it for anybody's name. If you were the only person on earth, He would have sent His son to die for you. You want to know your value? Don't go get a car. Don't go get a bag. Don't go get a new gun or a new boat or a new whatever. That doesn't hold, none of those things hold value. None of those things have the ability to show you what you're worth. You don't have to keep up with the Joneses if you know that God loves you. You don't have to try to find value in drugs or different addictions or different women or different men or different situations or some prestigious club or some prestigious whatever it may be. If you know that God loves you, if you know that He finds value in you so much that He sent Jesus, then that settles the issues of the heart. In Ephesians 4 verse 30, the Bible says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32, and this is where I'll start my close. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted. Here's the big one, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Brother Allen, I can forgive my wife, me too. Brother Allen, I can forgive my children or my cousins or my coworkers, me too. But Brother Allen, when it comes to forgiving myself, it's a little bit harder. It's a little bit more difficult. Why? I think the simple answer is we don't know who we are. We don't know our worth. We don't know our value. We don't know how fascinated the God of all creation is with you and I. And I believe that's the reason in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, that God tells us, listen, I want you to be nice to each other and I want you to be patient with each other, but I want you to forgive each other. And then He gives the very next statement, just as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. Brother Kevin, it takes away all excuses. It takes away all the possibility of me saying, listen, God wants me to forgive other people, but when it comes to me, He wants me to hold on to some things. Why do we hold on to some things and forget and refuse to forgive ourselves? I think we believe we deserve the punishment. I believe that we think that we can earn our way back into the relationship with God if we punish ourselves. If we have enough discipline, we can get back into the goodness of God. But friends, today, that's not the way the Bible says it. It's not even close to the way the Bible says it. Are you telling me today, Brother Allen, you can do whatever you want to and get into the presence of God? I'm telling you that if you get into the presence of God, you won't want to live like however you want to. I'm telling you, if you ever meet eyes with the one that has eyes like as a fire, it does something on the inside of you that when you go astray, you're quick to come back to Him. You're quick to come back to Him, not out of thinking that you're going to go to hell or thinking you're going to lose your salvation or any amount of judgment. You just want to get back to Him because He's the one that has peace and He's the one that has love. I believe today, Sister Alex, that the reason it's so hard to forgive ourselves is because we don't understand how valuable we are. And I think it is extremely important to not miss the scripture that the Bible says we should confess our faults one to another. Why? Because when you talk about it, it takes power away from it. We have a decision to make. We either can be controlled by shame or love. We can either be controlled by regret or power. We can either choose grace or we can choose love. Or if we want to choose what the enemy wants, we can be ashamed and scared and afraid. Brothers and sisters, forgive other people. That's a great thing to be able to do. And I thank God today that sometimes when I think I forgive people, God puts them right back in my life and I feel something on the inside. I feel an uneasiness sometimes. And it's God showing me personally, listen, you tried to forget it. You didn't forgive. There's a difference. You see, a lot of times when people do us wrong, we can't forget it, but we can forgive them. You see, I can't forget a lot of the wrongs I did in my life. God knows I wish I could. But when I begin to think and to pray to God about them, he instantly reminds me that I don't need to forget. I need to forgive. You see, if I can let go of when I fell short, if I can let go of when I messed up, if I can let go of all the dirtiness in my life and all the regret in my life, then when somebody comes to me that needs forgiveness, I can instantly give it to them because I first received it. It's the reason the enemy holds it over your head. He knows that if you forgive yourself, then there's freedom not only for you, but for those around you. Why in the world does the enemy try to throw all hell at you and me in our minds and in our bodies and in confusion and being scared when we can forgive others easily? I really can't. I'm quick. No, I'm quick to get upset too. Now, let me go ahead and say that. But like to forgive somebody, that's not really hard for me, to be honest. But man, when I mess up, whew, the whole wrath of hell's on my head. And it's in those times that I'm praying, I feel like something's blocking my prayer. It's in those times I'm trying to teach or to preach or to speak to somebody and God's telling me what to say to them, but there's something hindering me. There's a weight that's holding me down. And it's in those times that God is showing me, listen, you forgive others. I told you, I commanded you to forgive yourself. The enemy will try to make us feel like it's taking advantage of the goodness of God or it's taking advantage of the love of Christ Jesus. But it is a command. As much as He commanded you and me to take our tithes into the storehouse, or He commanded you and I to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, body, and soul, and as He commanded us to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, when He told us to forgive, that is 100% a part of forgiving others, yes, and to forgive ourselves also. He didn't say, I want you to forgive others. Yes, but He also said, I want you to forgive yourself. Why do we separate the two? It's the enemy. He's trying to hold you down. See, he knows that if Brother Kevin won't forgive himself, then he knows that he can't experience peace and freedom and love. But if Brother Kevin can experience peace, freedom and love, then when that person comes along that maybe needs a job or needs a financial a seed sown into them, Brother Kevin can't hear the word of the Lord if he's too busy fighting within himself. Or if somebody needs a prophetic word or needs to know what their dream meant, Brother Kevin can't hear from God because he's too busy arguing with himself. God told you to forgive. God told me to forgive, and that should settle it. Lastly today, you say, Brother Allen, how do I forgive? How do I experience this? I know how to forgive other people, but how do I forgive myself? I'm so happy you asked today. Because the Bible is extremely clear. It says, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. The Bible says that when Jesus came to this earth and lived a perfect life, 33 and a half years roughly, and he was on the cross, and Jesus looked up to heaven and said, it is finished. That at that point, he was the perfect propitiation. He was the perfect payment for mine and your sins. And the Bible says that God no longer remembers our sin as far as the east is from the west. Sister Alex, you shall forgive yourself as far as the east is from the west. It's a perfect, complete forgiveness. The thing I absolutely love about forgiveness is when I truly experience it, it can't be brought back up. Now, the enemy can remind you of it. He can remind me of it. I'm not asking you to forget the sin. I'm asking you to forgive yourself of the sin. And you and I have a choice to make. God said that Jesus' blood was enough to forgive your sins and to forgive my sins from times past, present, and future. As far as the east is from the west, you and I have a decision to make. Was God right or am I right? Was God's son enough for our sins? Or should I hold on to my sins? Should I hold on to my unforgiveness? Today I'm going to say that God was right. And when the enemy brings up something I did yesterday or 2 weeks ago or 6 years ago or maybe 20 years ago, when the enemy brings it up to me, and he can bring it up and he sure does all the time, then I don't sit there in a 30-minute prayer rebuking the enemy. I say, enemy, you're a liar in the name of Jesus, and what he did was enough. And then the thought has to flee from me. It is that simple. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Do not let the enemy convince you that you need 35 steps to forgive yourself. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with working through it and all that kind of stuff, but I'm telling you today, you and I are under a covenant that it is the finished work of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that before the foundation of the world, he died for you and me. He already set this thing in motion and he already completed it. You and I serve a perfect God that when he looked at the paralytic man, he said, arise, or he said, son, arise, your sins are forgiven. And the man got up and was made whole. It is the perfect picture of salvation. He wants you and I to know that he calls us son and that he calls us daughter. There's a relationship that you weren't good enough for, I wasn't good enough for. He initiated it. He holds it in the palm of his hand and he will complete it. He's that perfect and he's that good. And I want to tell you today in the name of the Lord Jesus that he is absolutely in love with you. He is absolutely fascinated with you. He's not disappointed. He didn't make a mistake in making you. He didn't mess up and think, oh, I gave you this and now you fumbled it or you messed it up. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, today, people in this call and that will hear this message, you are absolutely the person God created and God loved. And today he's calling you son and he's calling you daughter. And he's saying you are forgiven. Now receive the forgiveness. Forgive others, but forgive yourself. Today he wants you to know and he wants me to know that there is power in forgiveness. There is freedom in a relationship with the Lord Jesus. So there's nothing wrong with crying. There's nothing wrong with being sorry, but there is something wrong with allowing a weight to be put on us and allowing blinders to be put in front of our eyes. Today, you and I serve a God of freedom and of peace, whereby we shall call out Abba, which is Father. I don't want my kids to let something they did last week mess up our relationship. I want my kids to come to me freely. I want my kids to come to me with open arms and love and run to me. And today, Abba is encouraging you and me to run to him, thus saith the Lord God. He's wanting us to come to him with open arms, with expectations in our hearts to know that we can receive the love and forgiveness of Yahweh himself. Jesus said, listen, be nice to each other. Take care of one another. Be patient with one another. But last but not least, I want you to forgive. And I want you to do it, as the Bible says, even as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. In other words, I want you to do it perfectly. You and I can experience perfect love, perfect peace, and perfect forgiveness. I challenge you today to receive the perfect love of God and watch what comes right with it. Forgiveness has to come. I can't tell my wife I love you but refuse to forgive her. If I say I love you, then she receives certain benefits that come with that, and forgiveness is absolutely one of them. One of the greatest things in our relationship is I look at my wife and I watch how she handles situations. She's a great mother, a great wife, a great, all these things. But if there's one thing that used to hinder her and still comes back up, is forgiveness of herself. It's for her to understand her value. I see her value, but sometimes that's not enough. I want to encourage her to see her own value. And your value and her value and my value are all the same. Jesus said that when he came to this earth, he chose to die for you. You have the value of the Lord Jesus Christ upon your life. There's nothing better than that. Let's pray. Yahweh, I thank you today. God, I thank you for everything that you've done for us. I thank you that we can experience this forgiveness. And Lord, I thank you that you established and you always set it up. When you see us, you call us son and you call us daughter. I thank you, Yahweh, for everything that you've done, Lord. And I know it's a hard word sometimes, but God, I pray in the name of Jesus for an anointing to come upon us, Lord. The spirit of freedom to come upon us so that we can experience forgiveness with other people, absolutely, Yahweh. But I pray today that we can forgive ourselves. We can let it go. God, I silence the mouth of the enemy in Jesus' name. And I speak freedom over my brothers and sisters. I speak peace and rest upon them. I speak love over them. God, I pray that you will continue to put people in their paths that will cause them to see your goodness, cause them to see your grace, cause them to see your love. By faith, we believe these things. And God, I pray that you continue to help us. And I thank you that you showed us the way. I thank you that you said that we should forgive others even as you forgave us in Christ Jesus. What a blessing, Lord. By faith, we seal these things. By faith, we say yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen.